All right, Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's the beauty of Jesus moving in our lives, touching our lives. But more than anything else, Jesus moving into our hearts. So when that happens, God gives us a phenomenal grace that really takes the weight off of our shoulders that we don't need to carry. So a lot of things in this life we were never meant to carry. And Jesus comes into our lives and he actually carries those things. The other thing I found him to be is the ultimate when it comes to lining up appointments, to lining up times where we get to spend with people. And as God fills us with his word and we share it with other folks just living life, the Holy Spirit's at work in those other people's lives. So we don't have to try to convince somebody of anything in our strength. We just need to rest in him. And he carries that, and he wants to do that with us. And he looks at us in an amazing way. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your love, for the things that you do that really line things up in our lives and given us this grace that is beyond belief in a world that is so confused, fighting with each other, arguing, using man's anger to accomplish things, where, Father, it's just totally different with you. You set the world upside down, Jesus, when you came into this world. Right side up is where it went. And, Father, you did it in a way that just blew this world away through love. Jesus plus nothing is the success in our relationship with you. And we're so thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Ready to worship? The Lord? Good. Come, ready. We're going to start with House of the Lord, Matthew, and go from there. I never like setting things in stone. You know, I don't like programs. I like presence. And I'll follow him where he's leading, right? Kind of like what Moses said. If you don't go with us, we aren't going either. You know, really.
Lord,
joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, no, we shout your praises. Joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, no, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we're going to shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, no, we shout out your praise. Let me hear it. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. You know why I know God is in this place? Because you showed up. Guess where God is? He's not in this building. This building is to contain God. You're the who's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, there we are. So you came, you showed up, so did God. That's right, isn't it true? That's the truth. Another song, it's an older one called Lord Reign in Me. I've always liked it. I like the words to it. Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest tower, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Amen. Isn't that a good prayer? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Won't you reign in me again? Won't you? Won't you reign in me again? I love you, Lord. A song called You Amaze Me. I haven't done this one for a while. I watch the morning sun light the sky. You held creation as it came to life. You amaze me. Oh Lord, you amaze me. Yes, you do. I watch the ocean crash against the sand. Behind the boundaries of your unseen hand, you amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Amen. Holy, holy. I watch the seasons as they come and go. A field of flowers to a field of snow. You amaze me. Oh, you amaze me.
I watched a mother hold a newborn child. They look like mama with a daddy smile. You amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hands, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Holy, holy. You amaze me.
A request for one, we're Dallas Holm fans. Anybody remember that fella? Yeah, and he knew me then. Matthew is what it's called. These are the kind of songs we do when we get together, is with our guitars and after dinner at home, you know, with the family, and his old songs. Goes like this. He knew me then. He knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place where I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. And he loves me. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure he was a very good man, but me did not know. Well, listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now. And he loves me. He knew you then. He knows you now. And he died for you. He loved you then. And he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He knew the place that you would be today. He knew you then. He knows you now. And he loves you. He knew you then. He knew you then. He knows you now. And he loves us still somehow. Amen. See, the thing about, you judge yourself. When you make a mistake, you think God moves away from you.
That's right.
That's our natural carnal mind. But the distance is only created in your own mind and heart. He never moves.
That's right.
He never moves from you. And that's important to note that. So when you're feeling distant from God, just change your thinking, because it isn't true.
Yes.
Alienation is a, you know, a curse. Alienation means cut off from fellowship and intimacy with God. Don't let what you've done wrong keep you separated from Him. He'll never separate Himself from you. It's what He said. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's a promise and a threat.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. I like it. We've spent too long in the wilderness. Let's do No Longer a Slave. I think I like that one. It's a good one. No longer a slave to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of boldness, of power, of love, and a sound mind. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fear is gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Don't you feel that? I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Oh, your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Just declare it in Jesus' name. Oh, I am a child of God. Amen. I'm no longer the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and say, I am the child of God. Oh, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. Drown my fears in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and say, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Amen. I am a child of God. Child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. God, Romans 4:17 says, God raises the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Right. So if you have fear in your life, just declare over yourself, I'm no longer a slave to fear, right? There's right. Power in our words.
Right.
And we can actually create an environment for that.
Thank you. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a song I like so much back a few years ago, called Shepherd Boy.
Yeah.
I just like it because, you know, God sees us differently than you might see yourself. That's an understatement. He always does. He sees things in you that you might not yet see in yourself. But the Holy Spirit is going to convince you that those things are true about you. He's never wrong. Shepherd Boy, you see it? There it is.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment can touch you.
That's right.
And everything will change when others see a shepherd boy. God may see a king.
Amen. Can I bear witness for that?
One by one, problems come and dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter, for the Father holds tomorrow in His hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He could touch you. Others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king.
Well, it wasn't the oldest, it wasn't the strongest chosen on that day. Still the giants fell and nations trembled when they stood in His way.
Like what Jesus said, he actually quoted scripture to the devil, which we all should do too. Whenever he's telling you who you're not, you just tell him who you are, you know. And you just said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there's words that are flowing from God's mouth all the time. Now it's up to us to hear and listen, because life is in those words that are proceeding from his mouth. And as ministers of the gospel, you want to be able to hear what he's saying in that hour. There seems to be the Holy Spirit can, because the word, you can go, there's so many topics, subjects, themes you can choose from. It's a thick book. But there's one thing the Holy Spirit might be highlighting in that hour. And it takes the eyes to see and ears to hear what it is he's saying to the church. Amen? That's not too much to ask. That we learn to listen to what our Father's saying in that hour. And I think I have a word for you this hour that might be helpful and relevant. So let's open with prayer. And I thank you, Father, for the word that returns, always accomplishes what you send it out to do. That we're family here. Your Spirit will take what is said and bring fruit forth out of it, Father. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. He loves us. He loves us, doesn't he? He wants to feed. And another thing he told Peter, feed my sheep. What are you going to feed them? Well, fresh bread. Yeah? Fresh bread. Look at this title. How about this? Jeff says, I always have interesting titles. Belittled believers. Who are you? You know, one of the agendas of Satan is is a traducer, which means to, I've shared this with you before, but to devalue you, to belittle the worth and the value, to make you think so little of yourself. Why do you suppose that is? Inferiority breeds insecurity. And insecurity really breeds disobedience because you're too afraid to do anything. You know? So inferiority, it makes you look seem so small and everything around you so big. The devil bigger than God, you know, or whatever. The devil looks bigger than you. Well, you know what I mean. Fear is, like I said, false evidence appearing real. So it's one of his agendas to belittle the believer, to get us to think we're so small. So let's go. I've got some scriptures for you. But it certainly has been part of my life. The thing about it is, when you look see yourself so small, everything around you appears big. Scary challenges, a job, even other people. They seem to be intimidating. So let's look at the verses here. I got, here's something here, Acts 19. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. All right? Well, they were using Jesus' name. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Now, that's the name of this, you know, sermon. Who are you? Do you know who you are? The devil seemed to know who knows who's who. I think that's a good question. Who are you? Do you know who you are in Christ? You can't face life without that. So then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They didn't know who they were. They'd heard about Jesus. They heard about Paul. You can't just preach the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. If you don't know Jesus, there's no authority until you know who you are in Jesus. As you learn to find out who you are in Christ, you can walk in that authority that he's given you. God-given authority. Amen? But it requires that we see ourselves as he does, right? And you hear me preach this all the time. But it's interesting that in the spirit realm, they knew the spirits knew that they didn't know Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? You better know who you are. Your heart gives off messages. It speaks before your mouth ever does. who you are emerges and surfaces from you. You give off vibes. Have you heard that before? Well, your heart gives off vibes with every breath. What God wants to do is build in you his character so that when you do beat, your heart beats, it's speaking Jesus to others. And they sense it too. Do you know a horse can sense fear? Animals sense fear, don't they? You're giving off. Why is that? They sense that you're not in charge. You're not in authority. And they take advantage of that. Isn't that what happened here? And it's interesting that even in the animal kingdom, they can sense things that are not spoken, just perceived, you know? It's important. So God is looking at your heart and saying, I'm going to, you know, make you, build in you something more. Is that good so far? You with me? Who are you? It's a good question. Let's read on. Now, here's an answer for who you are. Way back in the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us, this is an amplified version, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So you even have authority over creeps. That's what it says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female. Now that goes against some of the things in our society today. But you know, you already have to go back to the law of first references. And where what it said in the beginning. He created them male and female. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And subdue it. Now that word subdue is an interesting word. It like dominates. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion. You see that? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. God is giving them authority over all the earth. Amen?
Amen.
To use it for his glory. Now, let's go on to the next. Subdue means to tread down. Put it under your feet. Where it belongs. To disregard positively, to conquer. Bring into bondage, force, keep under, subdue, bring into subjection. Yes? All right. That's what God, in the beginning, designed us to do. That we are to walk in these, that's who you are. That you have been authorized to have dominion on the earth and exercise the authority. 1 John 4:4, I thought about this scripture too. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So now all of a sudden your perception has to change. It's no longer little you and big world. It's big God inside and little world. Greater, big God inside, little problem. Big God inside, little devil. Amen? That's the perception. It's all about how we perceive yourself, how you perceive yourself that's going to determine the outcome. Now, we have been told to walk in our authority, and it's going to require that we understand that who is in us, who is this person inside of you and me? Who are you? What do you answer? What do you answer for that question? Child of God, we've seen some of that. Amen. Yes, there's all kinds of things to do. And let's read on. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, I always kind of resort back to this one a lot. You know, forgive me for repeating myself. Therefore, from now on, when? Now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. You don't look at yourself after your flesh anymore. It's not who you used to be, it's who you are now in Christ that only counts. That's all that matters now. It's not what was, it's what is and what will be. Amen. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And I'm going to stop right here for a minute. Sometimes the Lord helps me to express and give me words, verbiage to share. But one of the things was, don't allow your flesh to define who you are. Okay? Who do you let define you? That's going to determine your perception. Now, your Heavenly Father is the only one that can rightly define you. You get your identity from the Father. Amen. This is critical. If you want to be effective in the Spirit, be effective in the kingdom of God, and take authority over the devil, you have to allow the Father to define you, not your flesh. You're no longer who you used to be. Amen. This is key. I'm telling you some things that are important here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have, what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Don't talk to yourself. Don't belittle yourself. You play right into the hands of the devil when you do. So stop it. In Jesus' name. Declare who you are in him. And I am caught blindsided sometimes. Temptation can get your focus off of who he says you are and onto your old man. And all your carnal mind is an enemy of God. Your carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mind is a mind that agrees with what God is saying about you. Yes. And we have to renew our minds. There will be no transformation apart from renewing our minds. Amen. That's the truth. Let's read on. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Shh. We should all, by all means, go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." God had said, go into the land in the first place. It was his word. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." Who said? You see their perception of themselves? It got in the way of obedience to God. And I'm telling you, the church, we are too small in our own eyes, and we will not fulfill the full potential of God until we get it right, till we see ourselves right. Till you perceive yourself as God perceives you, we will not go out and take the land for Christ. So it's critical that you and I see ourselves as God says we are and agree with what he says so that we can go out and do exploits for God. Those who know him will do exploits. Great things are coming to them that believe. Amen? That's you and I. I think, you know, sometimes I don't mean this to be a horrible accusation or point the finger, but we become spectators instead of participators. We need to get in the game, not just watch others do it. You are called by God as much as anyone else. You have an individual call on you. It's true. We all have gifts and callings. And the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He will not change his mind about them. He won't repent and think of, you know, when he's given you gifts. Now, okay, next. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report. Say, bad report. Ooh. You know. Sometimes the most belittling can be among your own people. Watch what you say. We're here to affirm one another. I'm not to look at you and regard you after your flesh. I'm supposed to see Christ in you and affirm what I see. That's critical. You're a son of God. You're a powerful daughter of God. I see you, Victoria. You know what I mean? You speak to the truth inside of a man and a woman. The land, where are we at here? Bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone. Let me stop for a minute and say, you can do that. Who do you think you are? You can do that for God. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Yes, I can. That's what Jesus told me to do. Apparently, he sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The living God. Let's get out and get it done. Boy, that came from where did that come from? You know what I mean? Larry the Cable Man, he's a prophet, didn't know it. So the land through which we have gone, is in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. This was fear, man. Fear 101. And they looked small, and God, they have a problem, looked big. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grass. Listen to this. You see this? Like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. They projected what they perceived of themselves onto the enemy. And the enemy said, look at them. They think they're grasshoppers. What a joke. David thought he was a giant killer. You see? A little boy with a slingshot and a mighty God. Yes. Yes. So off he went, man. Cut off that giant's head. It was all perception. You know, in the kingdom, size doesn't matter. It's like, it's true. Gideon, his army had to be whittled down to 300 guys. You know, so that God would get the glory. We're going to read about Gideon here in a minute too. So I just think that's really important that your perception of yourself is going to be projected out to those around you. And if they sense fear in you, or do they sense a confident, secure, I don't like inferiority. I've had that in my life a lot more than I should. But God is bringing me out of that. And that's why I'm bringing this message to you today. Changing my perception too. Amen? That's important. It's okay. Admit that. So there's a key principle right there. Let's go on. Luke 10. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. There you go. He has authorized you and I to take authority and not be afraid to operate in that. Some of you have probably encountered demons, and maybe even without knowing it. It's not an area that I'm really, you know, a lot of experience in, but I'm just telling you what Jesus told us, what he gave us. He gave us the authority and the power to do that and to tread on them. That means they're under our feet. They're not over your head, you know? They're under your feet. So let's move on. Deuteronomy 28, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Isn't that a good one? And you will only be above, only will be above, and you will not be underneath. Amen. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after the other gods to serve them. All right, let's read on. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. All right? This is challenging. It's okay. Let's read on. Matthew 17, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. What happened? Let's read on. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. All right? He knew who he was, and he exercised that authority, and so should we. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Notice it was privately. Hey, Jesus, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed here. You know, what did I do? How come it didn't work? Why could we not drive it out? Okay, good question. And he said to them, and this is a simple answer, because of your littleness of your faith. One version says your unbelief. It isn't the size of the devil. It's the smallness of your faith that's the real problem. Okay? It isn't how big the devil is. It's how little your faith is. That was their problem. For truly I say to you, if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And I thought about that. It's a quality of faith. It's not the size of your faith. It's the quality of it that matters. Then you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Wow, what a statement. Nothing will be impossible to me. That's what he said. So when the next time the devil says, who are you? Say, nothing is impossible for me. I have greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But this kind goes not out, but except by prayer and fasting. Now, some people have taught that it means that it's a certain kind of demon that has to be prayed and fasted over to get out. But really, the text here, that's the kind of unbelief that has to come out by prayer and fasting. Amen? Doesn't that seem more like in text? Context of what he's saying? So it's through prayer and fasting that our unbelief, our faith will enlarge and increase, amen, within us. That's the difference. It isn't the size of the devil, it's the size of our faith, amen. Is that clear? All right. Let's move on. Mark 16, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to stop for a minute and just say, you know what? God tells you things. He sees things in you. Just agree with him when he says it. Don't argue with him. It's interesting how many leaders, as they were called, they argued with God. Moses said, well, I can't speak. You know, get somebody else. You know, and there were others too that argued with God. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. You don't want to send me to the nations? You know what I mean? They saw themselves as inferior. And the call of God was so much bigger than they were that it seemed impossible. And I'm telling you, the things that God wants to do through you as a person, individually, is so much bigger than you have the ability to understand right now. But it's going to grow. Could you imagine yourself laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover? Amen? Why not? If you encounter a devil, cast it out. Exercise your authority. That's where he's bringing you, the church. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, let's strap on your seatbelts here, boys and girls. Next. Oh. Was there more to that? No more text? Really? You sure? Well, that I like that. Look at that, though. See, it's your perception. You think kitty cat, God thinks lion. You know what I mean? That's the difference. That tells a lot of it. And the more you look into the mirror of his word, and he's reflecting back to you who he sees you are, the more like you, him, you become. From glory to glory. That's critical. That's critical. All right. Hallelujah. Is that good? No more text, huh? Wow, I'm surprised. Make sure you don't have to scroll over a little bit, maybe. The thing about the rest of Mark talks about how you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. Jesus said that? Yeah, he did. I wanted to just touch on this for a moment because it's, I don't, you know, broadcast it, but I do appreciate that gift in my prayer time. It enhances, it deepens. The Bible says you're speaking mysteries that only God understands, you know? And I am just one that I'm grateful for that. And I am. And it's in the book. And I enjoy it. I'm grateful for that ability, that gift. And I think it's for everyone. Doesn't make you inferior if you don't. I knew it. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. That's key. If you don't believe it, it ain't going to work. No matter what God says. What God says only works when you believe it. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's actually in the Bible. And Jesus' words, red letter. So it's okay. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Those are Jesus' words. And so it's okay. And you know, I was all by myself when I received what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or in a car. Wasn't in church. But the Bible says, the Bible told the disciples, tarry or wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Clothed with power. But I still think that those gifts are different from character. If you feel inferior, those gifts really aren't going to help you until you understand who you've been made to be, you know? So, it isn't a substitute for character development. Amen. I hope you get this. So is there more? Look at this. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we ran out of space down there. Anything else about Gideon maybe and Judges? Matthew, James, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers only who delude themselves. Oh, I know that scripture. So what? You believe it? You know, it isn't information that puffs up. It's the love of God that builds up. That's important. We're saturated with information and have very little revelation. The Lord wants to take what's up here down here and write it on your heart. Accumulation of information is, it seems to me that we pride ourselves on what we know and have very little experience of who he is in reality. God is, yeah, boy, that's good preaching, Mike. I'll say amen. He wants to take what you know and make it real inside. Experiential knowledge. You know what? I'll tell you this. I'll be honest with you. His intimacy is more important to me than anything I have or own or all the blessings I have been given. Do not take the place of my intimacy with Him. It's all empty apart from knowing Him. That's the source. And there are times when I'll cruise along and I'll go, oh, Father, you know, I just need to connect with you. I'm grateful for all this stuff, but you are the one that I want most. Yeah. Amen. That's it. There is no substitute for intimacy. Okay, don't delude yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. It's like that kitty in the mirror. He sees the lion and then walks away and thinks he's a kitty again. You know? All right? Remember who you are. Remember what he shows you. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, and not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, I want to get to Judges, Matthew, and we'll close here with this. Is there one in there? That's it. That's the last of the last. Well, Gideon. Okay, Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. He was down in the basement down there, hiding, doing stuff. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, appears to Gideon and says, hey, fearless warrior, man of courage, mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, I am the least in the least tribe, the smallest. I'm insignificant. I'm inferior. I'm unimportant. I don't count. And what are you saying to me that I'm a man of valor? Who are you talking to? You. Because I see in you something that you don't see in yourself. And God is saying that to the church. I am declaring over you the power of God. And that's who you are. That's who you've always been. And I want you to walk in that power. Walk in that authority. Learn to carry yourself with dignity and worth and value. And the immediate result of that is you can bring dignity and worth to those around you that have lost their worth, that feel worthless. Amen. We as a church need to know our worth and our value before the love of God so that we can pour out our lives to those around us that need healing, that are broken, that have been torn up by the devil and believe that they're not worth anything. That's the truth. That's what this is all about. And that's why it's so important that we get it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. So Gideon was arguing with God about this. And so often we do the same thing. But he ended up becoming a great warrior, didn't he? He led those people to victory. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's saying. He does. So believe it. Receive it this morning. The word receive is not a passive word that goes, okay, Father, just lay it on me, God. No, it's the word lambano, take hold of it. This is your promise is mine. I'm making it my own. I'm going to possess it. It's mine. To apprehend it, like Paul said, I will apprehend that for which God has apprehended me. And I think that's enough for now. Thank you for listening. Yes, your checks are made out to my gift. Not kidding me. That sounds terrible, didn't it? Man, I'm supposed to make you laugh because I don't care. I don't care. It's not what it's about at all. I love the word. I'd do this for nothing because this is a pleasure. The reward is in the giving away. It is. So should we stop with close with a song? Let's do that. Thank you so much. I hope you got something out of that today. If you did, say amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. We're going to do a song called Altar. And the altars are open if you want prayer. You know, it's okay. The service is nearing the end. The choir is singing just as I am. And now, as the old song is played, people at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sin. Some are fighting battles and they're struggling to win. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting here for you. Go quickly now, before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. The Father is praying with His Son. A mother kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. An old man is standing there in tears. He's giving up a part of him that he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken and lives are being changed. Those who call upon him, they will never be the same. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness with a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting here for you. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. Pull up Holy Forever, Matthew. Holy Forever. And generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. All who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions
all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And if you've been forgiven, song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, will you sing the song forever to the Lamb? We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always. Always be holy, holy forever.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. What a message for today. Go out and be Jesus to this world. Know who you are, because the God that created this heaven is right there in you. Just lean into Him. So have a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you.